The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Pete, I thought we could start differently today.
Okay, I'm here for it.
So rather than, introing normally, I think we should sing. So because we don't have like a theme tune or... because we don't have like, you know, a do-do-do or anything. I think we should make our own up and then it can be set every week.
Do you?
Yeah, and I think you should go first. So the first thing that comes to your mind, the first like do-do-do, go for it and I'll support you.
All right, okay.
FUBAR, the dating show.
Are you joking? That wasn't even in time.
Yes, it was. There's a delay. It wasn't time.
Is that what it is the delay? Because that sounded a little bit to me like you were just going, FUBAR, the dating show.
Everyone got it. You got it. So there we go. So we're listening to FUBAR Radio. This is the dating show.
And if you're still listening, thank you.
And that's our theme tune. I'm Cece Coleman.
And I'm MC Pete Wicks.
Have you ever done that, like in the clubs back in the day, getting the old mic and be like, I'm going to sing a rhythm?
Do you know what? The thing is, I have absolutely no rhythm whatsoever. I can't even clap to a beat.
Oh, this is brilliant.
This is so good.
Really?
None, not a thing. I can't, and I love music, but I can't sing in tune, I can't clap in tune, I can't pick up a beat, I'm useless.
Does that mean you can't dance?
Vertically I struggle dancing, horizontally I've got a lot of rhythm.
You just saved yourself there.
I knew where you were going with it.
I want to go out with you now. I want to see you in a club. I want to see you really drunk dancing. That would make my day.
Oh, I mean, listen, I'm well aware that I've got no rhythm, but it doesn't fucking stop me.
Yes.
I will still happily throw my arms and legs around like like I've been electrocuted. That's kind of what it looks like.
Good. Okay. See,
you're a good dancer. I can imagine.
I like to think I am, but again, do you know what I mean? Like, how do you really know? But I believe I am. But whenever anyone's videoed, I feel highly embarrassed. I think, oh my God, what am I doing?
Well, for anyone listening, when lockdown lifts, if you do see me and Cece dancing in the club, mind your fucking business.
Yeah, leave us alone.
Let us live.
Yeah, we need to get stuff out of our system. We need to dance. So just let us do what we need to do.
Please don't call the police or an ambulance. We are okay.
So this is the dating show. And we have a really, really great topic this week, which is love at first sight. We are going to be talking to Russell Kane, who is our guest, because he's got a nice story to do with love at first sight. So should we start with our dating news first, and then we'll have a little chat about how we feel about that term?
I think we should absolutely do that. Let's start with dating news.
Okay.
Would you like to kick us off?
You know, I would. You know, because I've actually got one of the stories that I'm really interested in. So this is current times, and I think it just shows where we're at. So there's a woman. So the headline is, woman slams cheap date for only buying water. But he hits back. So an anonymous woman went for a meal with a guy who, instead of ordering cocktails, ordered a bottle of bubbly, opted for the safer, more budget-friendly option of tap water with ice. Sharing a picture of their meal on Twitter, which included a burger and chips and the glasses of water, she wrote, "You know he's broke when he buys you water." She wasn't expecting him to see the tweet online or for him to comment or for anyone else to see. Well, it's on Twitter. So he then replies underneath, "You know you're broke when you depend on someone else to pay for your meal."
Oh, that is a fabulous comeback.
Isn't it?
I love that comeback. How do we feel about it, though?
So I looked at the picture, and so he's in the picture, but I thought maybe he'd gone to the toilet and she'd gone, cheap date. He's in the picture. So this makes her, like, what does it say about her as a person that she's saying, oh, can I just take a picture of us on our first date of our food? Just pose for me. Because then what I'm going to do is post that on Twitter and make you look like a dick.
Yeah, I mean,
not very nice, is it?
It's not very nice at all. Where did they go? Where did it look like they went where they had a burger, chips and water? Did it look like a nice place? No.
No, it doesn't look like, no, actually, it's quite budget.
It's quite budget. Oh,
it's quite budget, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this. I don't know what she was expecting, you know, with a burger and chips, a bottle of DP or something, but... well, listen, I think there's a lot of pressure on guys to splash out on first dates.
What would you do? What would your ideal first date look like?
I mean, as much as I say that, I'm a bit of a foodie when it comes to things. My ideal first date is mainly drinks, to be honest with you, and good food. So, but I don't like doing really extravagant first dates because first date is about the person you're on a date with. You need to work out whether or not you actually like that person. And when you go all over the top or you do them activity dates, which I fucking can't stand, like,
yeah.
I mean, then you don't really concentrate on the person you're on a date with. You concentrate on the activity you're doing or the place you're in. So I think a really nice restaurant with loads of cocktails is a perfect first date. I wouldn't, unless you don't drink, in which case water's fine.
So you would obviously offer, like, you know, say this is the drinks menu, choose what you want, not I'll order for you and I'll order tap water.
No. I mean, I'm quite old school, so guys should pay on a first date as far as I'm concerned. But I wouldn't hand a menu and go, listen, you can pick from that side. and you have to have part of the two courses for however. Do what you want. Yeah. Do what you want. Wherever you go, do what you want.
Agreed.
Drink what you want.
Both, I feel like this story, there's something on both of them, isn't there? I mean, he's obviously chosen tap water for a reason, but we don't know if she was given the option or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the weird one, is was she given an option to have another drink? Or did he just go, she'll have the water and some bread and butter? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, if that's the case, then I get where she's going with this, but I do think it's a bit mean to ask for a photo of someone and then basically penalise them for it. It's not nice.
What would you think if you went on a date with a guy and he ordered for you and ordered you tap water?
I would
take a picture and tweet it.
I just like the choice. I think it'd be nice to have a choice, right? I think that's lovely when a man, you know, intends to take control, but also... Hon, you don't know what I like to eat or drink. Like, let me choose my food because I can eat.
Yeah, do you know what? I think that taking control thing, funny enough, it is a little bit going back to what we spoke about with Governor B.
Yes, yes.
Toxic masculinity. Why do you need to order? I mean, some people might think that's romantic. I think that's quite controlling.
Yeah.
Here's a menu, order what the fuck you like. Do you know what I mean? Especially on a first date. Yeah. I don't know what you want. Have what you want. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I wouldn't like to do that for someone. And I don't see how any women or woman or whoever you're on a date with would find that particularly attractive because it seems a little bit controlling for me.
Yeah. I mean, each to their own. But for that particular story, I think, I don't like anybody being shown up or publicly embarrassed or humiliated, and I think that's what she's done. But he did, his comeback was, I mean, I guess she ended up looking like the one that was sort of
a bit of a donut.
Yes
don't mug people off online.
Agreed.
Yeah. We've also got another bit of dating news this week. A woman who a woman who catches a boyfriend cheating through the doorbell recording. So you know these doorbell recordings?
Yes.
Where you can speak through them or whatever else, and you can see your postman arrive and see what they've left and all that sort of stuff. She caught her fella cheating on her, basically. The video doorbell captured this guy, and she took to TikTok to share the moment that she found out her boyfriend had been cheating on her. Another public mug off. Women scorned tend to just go public with this shit, don't they?
Yeah.
So the other woman sent it to the boyfriend's phone. So he hadn't seen it. The other woman had seen the TikTok and then sent it to the boyfriend's phone because she found it funny. It's just
so she caught her through, right. So my problem with this is, I mean, look, cheating is obviously wrong and everything. It's wrong. It's just, there's no answer to that. But why go public? Why do that?
I think it's quite common for people who've been scorned to do things like that based on the fact that they feel humiliation for being cheated on and they want to inflict some sort of revenge. But I don't really know who that makes feel better.
No. if I was with someone, if I met someone who had a history of like putting on his ex-girlfriends online every time they did something wrong, I mean, I would be pretty skeptical about getting into that relationship. So, you know, and vice versa, like if it was a guy, I mean, imagine if you met someone and she was perfect, but you have a little Google and you can see that all of her exes are plastered everywhere for just doing the dirty.
I think it similarly goes down the kind of kiss and tell route of like back in the day when you used to have a lot of kiss and tells on footballers and people in the public eye and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's never good if they're cheating on their partners or doing whatever else they're doing. But to then go and publicly sell stories or to try and humiliate someone, it never really makes that person look particularly good either.
No.
You know what I mean? It's just, I don't see who wins out of that.
It's old fashioned advice, but like I guess in our family, it's always, you know, walk away with your head up high. That's always been our thing. And I don't think there's any, you know, that's how I feel. Yeah. I just think if you can walk away, you know, there's no need to lower yourself down to that person's level.
I think that's exactly it, isn't it? It's lowering yourself down to another person's level, isn't it? If someone does you wrong, you don't have to go and publicly fuck them.
No, you don't.
Privately fuck them.
On that note, let's talk about our topic.
Interesting one this week.
So interesting. So what I want to ask you first, what do you think love at first sight means?
In all honesty, you know, I like to waffle on when we do these shows and over different topics and give my completely undervalued opinion. But this week, I don't really know what love at first sight means. In all honesty, I just don't, because I don't think I've ever experienced it. And I'm not sure you can experience it.
I really appreciate and love your honesty there, because I'm going to read what apparently it means, because this kind of threw me as well. So love at first sight is when a person feels an instant, extreme and ultimately long lasting romantic attraction for a stranger upon first seeing that stranger.
Utterly bollocks. Complete and utter bollocks.
Well, see, so the whole instant, extreme romantic connection
is lust.
Is that what I mean? To me, that's lust. How can you look at someone and say or feel long lasting?
That's exactly it. And I think it's a very cliche fairy tale. You know how everyone kind of growing up, we've all had these fairy tales. You want to get married and have kids and, you know, love at first sight and all that sort of stuff that everyone thinks is all wonderful. But actually in real life, is that a reality? I don't think it is, because I've seen people and thought, fuck me, you're beautiful. I would love to get to know you. I would whatever else. And you want to talk to them, whatever else. For me, that's not love at first sight. That's I fancy you.
Yeah.
And I just don't see, even after one, two, maybe three dates, I would struggle to see a long-term relationship with one, because I don't know them well enough.
Do you know, it's really... Go on.
I can maybe see love at first sight being if you went on a date with someone and spent a couple of hours with them, talking to them, and then maybe you started to think of something. And then maybe that's just people falling quicker than what I do. But certainly on just first looking at someone and that first meeting of someone, I just don't think you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've never experienced it. I would love to think that it does exist, but... I mean, I know, you know, the immediate attraction. It's weird. There's a guy that stands out in my head who I met maybe 5-6 years ago, who I've never felt like this with anyone before, where I thought, oh my God, like I am immediately into you. And I don't know what it is, but I have to talk to you. And I made my way to talk to him for that evening. And we went on 2 dates, I think it was in the end, and it didn't last. But I wouldn't say it was love at all. I wouldn't say it's anywhere. I don't even know if I know what love is, but it was instant, like, wow, attraction. And he wasn't the most beautiful man on the earth. He was just, there was something about him. So if that's it, then...
Well, funny you say that, because as I've got older, when people ask what my type is, I can't really put my finger on what my type would be. But
yeah.
One thing that makes a difference for me is something that you cannot teach and something that you cannot explain, and that's presence. Presence is something that, for whatever reason, they don't have to be the best looking, the loudest, the whatever in a room, you're drawn to a person.
Yeah.
because their presence is something that you want to be around, or it's cliche again, like I hate using all these silly little words,
but no,
it's
I know,
like
yeah.
energy or vibe or whatever it may be. But that person in a room that for whatever reason you are intrigued by, captivated by, that is what my type is now, presence. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether that is a maybe a form of love at first sight. It's that kind of weird feeling you might get that you wouldn't ordinarily get with other people. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly not love in my eyes. It's a presence that you're captivated by.
I mean, to me, that's amazing that you even know what that is, because that's special, isn't it? That's something that, you know, I guess, again, with age, you do realise what you need and what you want. And at 20, you know, I wouldn't even know to use the word presence. I'd be like, fit, that's it. Fit, yeah. And that would...
Lovely tits, good ass, pretty eyes. That's
nothing else, just fit, I think. And then you start, you know, understanding about exactly presence. And maybe that develops into love. Maybe it doesn't. Is that still lust? I don't really know, but... I do understand that feeling.
Yeah, I think it sort of sounds a little bit like this, but a more realistic term for what I think it is.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But you know what's really interesting is they've done quite a few studies on this, and more men believe in love at first sight, British men, than women.
Wow.
Data collected by Elite Singles found that while 61% of women believe in love at first sight, 72% of men do.
Wow. I mean, that just makes me think.
It's lust,
yeah. Like, exactly. Because
yeah.
I think if my group of friends, male friends, you know, the amount of them that say they've been in love versus the girls are like, oh, I've been in love 5 times. And the boys are like, nah, I don't really think I have. And so then, but then if the percentage is higher for love at first sight, then it's clearly lust.
Do you know what's even weirder? So the survey results show that women start off being more positive about the idea of love at first sight than men, with 90% of women aged 18 to 29 thought it was real. But this dramatically changes as the age groups go up. So younger men don't believe in love at first sight, but older men do.
I don't know why that makes sense to me, though, because I guess you know yourself more. You know, you sort of know, maybe divorced, whatever, been through it, and you know what feels right and what feels wrong.
Or the older you get, the more desperate you get and just hope it will happen.
Very true. No, do you know, you're right, I do, like, yeah, I'm on the fence with that, because it's not like your standards drop, is it? But you do start thinking differently, that's for sure. Like, well, he's nice and that will do, and that's all I'm looking for now, is just nice. I think it changes, because in your 20s you're like, oh, I just want someone who's fit, you know, what's up. Cliche sayings, he's nice, he's good with family and whatever.
Tall, dark and handsome, gotta
yeah,
be loyal,
blah, blah,
good
blah.
Sense of humour.
Yeah, and then 30s hit and it's like, okay, I want a bit more, I want someone that's going to be really good with children, and he's got to have a house and whatever it is. And then I would imagine that changes again. So, go on.
I think... once you get out of your system, the idea of who you're going to fall in love with, once you get that out of your system, the idea of that person is when you're probably most open to falling in love. Because when you have a tick box or an idea of this perfect person, no one's ever going to match up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're detailing a dream,
mm-hmm,
rather than a reality. Which is what I think a lot of people do when they're younger, and why everyone always moans, oh, men are all wankers, and women, oh, you can't find a nice woman, you can't do this, because they're pitting it against something they've made up in their head of, mm-hmm, what they think is right for them. And actually, yeah. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can really have a type. You can have things that you're attracted to, you know, I like blue eyes or brown hair, and I like someone that's funny, or I like to, all these sort of different things. But actually, if you meet someone that does have that presence that changes the way you think about things,
mm-hmm,
that's actually what's important. I think you realise that as you get older. So, and maybe that is the love at first sight thing. Like, maybe that's
realizing
that presence is more important than a checklist of what someone's like on, what's the Love Island phrase? On paper.
Yeah, on paper, yeah. Well, you're setting yourself up for failure, aren't you? I think
of course you are.
I've definitely done that. Been in love with the idea of it, or been with someone thinking that I'm in love, but actually it is the idea of what they provide and what we have, and it feels nice, but actually substance wise, you know, nothing. It's, and that's, maybe that's it. Yeah, it's this confusion. Is it love at first sight, or is it idea at first sight? Oh, light bulb moment.
Oh, Cece, ding.
Do you reckon, was it Married at First Sight Australia? You know the couple, the redhead lady and the guy? Could you say that's married, love at first sight?
Cam and Jules, I mean, you could argue, or you could argue that they were completely open to the idea. It's not a normal meeting. They went on a show where Married at First Sight and Love at First Sight was something that they were pushed towards doing. Mm-hmm. So it made it open up. If they'd met in a bar, would it have been the same thing? They're still together, Jules and Cam. They've had a kid together and all that sort of stuff. But is it that they were put into an experiment? Because everyone else on that show has failed.
Yeah.
Is it because they were put into an experiment where they're both so determined on finding love and doing things the right way? Because they are both kind of goody two-shoe type people.
That
actually they're hanging on to this thing because they do get on really well and they do whatever else, and you know, they've obviously living happily ever after at the minute, but you're still only 2 years after first meeting, which I still don't think is long enough. I think you're constantly learning about your partner.
100%.
And so I don't know if that was in a normal situation that wasn't, we're getting married today and everyone's expecting us to fall in love and now I've got to fall in love with this person. This is what it's going to be because I'm now marrying this person.
Yeah.
Are you suddenly then instantly thinking about that? Or is that put in your head that you have to fall in love with that person at first sight? If they'd met in a bar, would she be thinking that's the man I'm going to marry? Or is it because she was put in a position where the first time she saw him, that is the man she's marrying?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I hope that lasts because I like them a lot. We are not pessimistic. We want it to last. But who knows?
But yeah, is it an argument for that being love at first sight? Which I think it could be, because that's as close to what I know it being.
Yeah.
But is it more of a pressure from outside?
Well, let's get our guest on and ask him what he thinks. So, welcome, drum roll, Russell Caine.
You sort of said that like Michael Caine then.
I have these accents, they pop out and I don't know why. They're just, you know, 1 minute I'm Aussie, 1 minute I'm not. Hello!
What's going on? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I know I probably should have like opened emails and shit. I got about 4 texts saying get on Zoom now. So, but I'll be good to wing it. Don't worry. It's literally what I do for a living. Normally, why 1,000 people scratch their heads pissed.
I've spent 32 years winging life, mate. So I'm here for that. So, mate, thanks for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
No worries.
Our topic this week is love at first sight. And you have a love at first sight story.
I do.
Hold on, before we go into that, we want to ask you some quick fire questions.
Oh, we're going to do quick
fire. We want to warm you up. We're just going to bam, bam, bam at you. So, quick, snappy answers. Okay, go. Ready? First question, date night in or out?
Out, definitely. I mean, after spending all this time in, anyone who still wants a date night in, you need to get diagnosed as medically agoraphobic. Who gets to the end of lockdown and go, do you know what, we'll just get a pizza delivered? By that point, you're probably housebound with diabetes and need to be lifted out if you don't want to go out. So when the first restaurant opens, I'll leave fire tracks into that restaurant. But yeah, out, date night out every time. I love getting dressed up with Lindsay and all that. That's my wife, because I'm heterosexual. I know it's shocking. Hashtag revelation. I just love it. Stick a shirt on, go out, get slowly drunk, flirt all night, get home, drunk too much, fall asleep without doing anything.
Normally, finish off in the morning.
No, the last thing you normally say to each other, shall we do it in the morning? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Kissing or cuddling?
Kissing. I struggle with Lindsay with any sort of affection that isn't going to lead immediately upstairs to a porn.
To sex.
It's the God's honest truth. So Lindsay knows not to come too near the beast. And any sort of cuddle, even a 10... I mean, the only type of cuddle that's safe is if we've watched a sad movie together or something's bad happened or someone's lost a job or something like that, and that's a sobbing cuddle is safe.
Yeah, a little rustles up in your stomach at that point because you're feeling a bit sad.
But any other cuddle, she's probably going to get a no-handed kidney punch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, next question. Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving. I'm like a little child when I'm about to give someone a present. I can't wait. I get so excited.
Right, dream job or dream partner?
Do you know what? It's pointless me having the dream partner if I'm not happy with what I'm doing creatively. If you sent me the goddess who I'm supposed to be with, I would have screwed it up if I'm unhappy on the inside. And to me, what I do creatively, I love my family. Obviously, they come first on an animal level. But if I'm not fulfilled creatively, not a fun person to be around. But I haven't felt that way for about 15 years.
I like that. That's a good answer, you know, man.
Nice.
The truth.
Chat up line or straight to the point?
Chat up lines cannot be used anymore. They died out about 10 years ago. There's no chat up line, no matter how good, that isn't playing a game. And I think we have passed the point where women, if we're talking about heterosexual men chatting up women, I think that's what you mean. We've passed the point where men can do that. And in fact, I don't want to turn serious or anything, we're at sort of like a watershed, really, where something like that even feels a bit sort of aggressive and unwanted. Just have a conversation, gentlemen. Do you mind if I buy you a drink? Is that cool? That is now the only chat up line you need. And if you get told to fuck off. That's the new rule.
I love that.
I think kind of, did you just fall from heaven? Because that's it, mace to the face, in my opinion, ladies. Did you just fall to heaven because I burn his eyes out with pepper?
Yeah, I'm here for that. I completely agree with that one. Big spoon or little spoon?
As I say,
I presume your little spoon in case you get the fucking feels, mate.
Just in case. I am. I've got the testosterone of 4 bouncers in a 5'10" Pepper Army body.
Right, lovely, mate. Nice.
I can't even wear that out.
It means I've got a lot of like energy squeezed into a small bloke.
Basically, he's a walking hard on. Is what we're saying.
I do lots of exercise and lots of energy. I've just got lots of energy in all departments.
Good to know. Wicked.
Russell Kane always on the edge of climax.
No, I go like a sewing machine in a power surge.
Let's move on from this, because this is amazing as it is. I want to talk to you about no, you carry on, but I really want to talk to you about love at first sight, because we have heard a story of how you met your wife, which we'd love you to share, and your thoughts around love at first sight.
Actual falling in love upon looking at someone, I would be very skeptical about. Instant animal attraction that you look back and go, my God, that was the moment I met my one. Probably, yes, that does happen. It probably happens quite a lot. But to actually look across a room and go, I'm fully in love with you, as though we've been dating for 3 months, I've got questions about your psychological stability. But to look at someone, you get that kind of, oh my God, it's the fittest girl I've ever seen. What's
lust? Last?
No, it's not. It's more than just lust. It's not, I want to fuck that. But it's more, I want to get to know her. I mean, and the same with a woman, like, who's that guy? Oh my God, I just want to get to know him, sort of thing. It's not necessarily love, but it's infatuation at first sight. Yes. 100%. Mm-hmm. And that infatuation can go one of two ways. It can lead to just lust. It can lead to someone you party with for a few dates. It can lead to love. It can lead to nothing. It can lead to a restraining order, in my case, with Caroline from Sheffield. I've made that person up. Don't panic, Fever. So what happened was with Lindsay, I went on stage. Now, this is 8 years ago. It's important. I'll tell you why. I've gone on stage 7-8 years ago, and there in the front row of my audience, it was only a small gig, 300-400 seater, is Lindsay and her mum and dad. And I don't know if you've ever been like in the middle of doing your job, and you're suddenly able not to string your sentence together properly or complete, because you're just so attracted to like a random who's just walked in, and you're thinking, oh, this is a bit caveman. But when you're doing a monologue on stage, making people laugh, and you need fast thought and everything, it's obviously a massive issue. So the only thing I could do was I'd sort of rolled her in, made her part of the banter. What's your name? Where'd you come from? Did what comedians do, just rip the piss out of her. She had this like fake fur jacket on her lap, which I took on stage and started pretending, because she was doing like a posh Manchester voice, you know, like pretending she was like middle class and that. So I was saying, oh, you're so posh that when you wax, mink fur comes off of your twinkle. That's what I was saying on stage. And I was laying on stage going, oh, my minky, like that. Just fucked about for a bit. The gig ended, everyone left. And I said to my tour manager, I bet you I never see that girl in the front row again, but she was absolutely stunning. And I was right at the tail end of a relationship. So it's not like I ran out the stage door trying to find her. I was literally splitting up with someone that week. And that's the worst week to meet someone. But about a couple of weeks later, I just tweeted the word minky on its own. I'll now and again just tweet a random word like panda or something, just to fucking been to Ibiza too many times, basically. Read the
quote. Yeah, yeah.
And but I thought I'd tweet the word minky, and one of her mates saw it and was like, is this a reference to this minky joke you did at my friend, and like embarrassed in front of her mum and dad? I went, yeah, she on Twitter. Follow, date. And then boom, we fell in love, married daughter. But when I went on that date, I didn't think I'm going to meet the one. I just thought, oh my God, I've tracked down the really fit girl from that gig. But it was one of those dates where you talk for 7 hours and I'm like, that's not normal.
Me and Cece sort of said this before you come on. I don't believe in love at first sight at all. I think it's utter bollocks. But, and Cece, you sort of agree, don't you?
We kind of
come up with the same thing as you, that an infatuation or a presence about someone that makes you want to get to know them, a captivation. Absolutely. That someone's got, yeah. Which I think people will then assign to be in love at first sight in hindsight if it works out.
Correct. The reason I said 8 years ago is I don't think it would have happened today. So if I was still single, everything was the same and Lindsay was the same and everyone was the same, I wouldn't have pursued it, because it's now, it shows how much culture shifted. Is it even appropriate? I'm 12 years older than Lindsay. Is it even appropriate for me to pursue a woman 25 years old with me on stage with the microphone, all the power, all the...
Shouting minky.
I would think, I would do all the jokes, but I wouldn't pursue a relationship, because we've now moved in a culture where it's like, if the man has more power, more age, it's not appropriate for him to even approach the girls. I'm not trying to be inappropriate on what I'm saying. We're at an interesting moment, particularly with the horrific stuff that's in the news about consent and power and men's role, where you do have to ask yourself the question as a performer or even someone in the public eye like you, but you have to sort of just check yourself. Is everything that's going on here appropriate? How much has everyone had to drink? All men and boys should be reflecting on it at the moment.
Yeah, I definitely think it's something that everyone needs to be more aware of. Some of the shit that people probably used to get away with, you know, like you say, 10 years ago, now, I mean, it don't look too chirpy, does it? Because everyone seems to be more aware of how everything looks.
Absolutely. But as I say, I gambled, we fell in love, all good. And that's the closest thing to a lover's first sight, I suppose. I've had some shockers, though. Some absolute shockers where I thought it was something worth pursuing.
Right, so this is the thing. Obviously, it's worked out for you this time with Lindsay. Happy days. I say this time, it's your forever time. Not like this time.
We'll I like to goes. Enjoy it. Yeah, they say enjoy your middle marriage. It's the nicest one.
Nice, like it. But previously you got some bad experiences, so have you felt like that you may have fallen in love at first sight and then realized that actually it was just a load of bollocks, or what?
It wasn't just that, it was so if you can believe this, I managed to get all the way into starting stand-up, winning an award, starting to get well known, being recognized, doing autographs without ever having a one-night stand in my life. And I'm like Councillor State Gary, Dave Lee, 18 to 30. And the reason is, Cece's applauding, though I'm morally superior. What the actual problem is, I suffer from a horrific condition, serial monogamy. So basically, I fall in love with anyone that, I mean, show me kindness, more or less. So what I'll do is, wow. we're starting at the age of 16, 17, first girl ever kissed me, boom, in like vomiting down the toilet in love. Oh, die for you, take my kidneys, fucking gone, head gone for 3 years. She cheated on me. We split up. I was like begging. Have you ever begged a lover where you're crying on their shoe and you've seen your own snot on their shoe?
Oh dear.
I'm talking snot on. I'm 19.
I mean, I'm surprised she didn't take you back, no?
Her dad was outside going, we need to leave. And then my mum was like, because obviously a teenager, you're vulnerable at that point. Mum was like, you need a year on your own. It's not natural. It's saying you're going to get married at your age, you're 19, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to shag everything that moves. First girl, bang, straight in love again. Another relationship for 3 years. And that pattern, just inappropriate. That's as inappropriate as shagging hundreds of people a year. It's worse, I think. It's worse because I don't think there's anything wrong with shagging 100 people a year. As long as you're operating safely and everyone's consenting, everyone's having fun. What's wrong with sex? Nothing last time I checked. If you're fucking your life up by getting 3 years deep, buying houses, getting pets, making everyone miserable and getting into toxic relationships with inappropriate people for 15 years of your freaking life, that's an issue. So yes, I only slept with four girls in 15 years or whatever it was, four or five girls, but my God, did I arse my life up doing it. So when I split up with the last disastrous mismatch, my mum was so sick of having, you know, the photo in my mum's conservatory of me with my arm around the one is about like 12 inches thick to the back because it's just full of girls that I was going to marry and have kids with and never did. It was my mum that said, you have to. write it on a calendar, year on your own, do what you would have done as an 18-year-old lad, or you're never, ever going to be able to make a woman happy because you won't have, you haven't lived. I've never been on a lad's holiday. I've never been single abroad. I've never been in a bar and spoke to a woman. I've never done anything like that. So then I went mental for a year.
So that Russell, who fell in love, you know, whether you want to call it at first sight or immediately, versus this Russell now, what's the difference and what do you do differently? Or do you still fall really, really quickly?
Well, it was the same pattern with Lindsay once. Lindsay came right at the, she was in the front row right when I was about to start this period of I'm having a year on my own.
So that's why I
delayed chasing her up. And when I did, it was like maybe 3 or 4 months later, I said to her, this is where I am. If I don't complete this 12-month tour of duty of, I'm sorry to be inappropriate, I called it Vajganistan. I was like, I've got to go out there. No, I've got to put myself out there. I be for 3 times. I've got all this female attention with the job I do. It's weird. I'm not religious. I'm not sexually conservative. It's a bit sort of, gets a bit sort of creepy when a man my age has not had experience. It stops being a positive thing and stops being endearing and starts to be damaging. You don't know yourself. You haven't experienced the world. Maybe I'll make a mistake in 10 years because I'll wonder what it's like to run off with a girl for one night, and I wouldn't want to do that. So I said, right, I'm completing this year. And I called it an emotional condom. I put it around my heart, tied it, and I said, I don't care how attracted I am to the girl, no second dates, none. And every woman I went out with got the talk. I said, this is where I am. I'm partying for a year.
I'm emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, I said, I love going out for a drink. I love dinner. I love sex. If that's what you're into, if you're not, cool, totally get it. Let's get pissed, have a laugh. No one got lied to. No one.
So, and Lindsay just waited for you to complete this year and then was like, no.
Let's... She lasted about 9 months where she started like, I'm starting to get feelings because I'd seen her once or twice. And then so I didn't actually complete the year. I only completed 10 months of it. But by then I was bored.
Wow.
The grass isn't green. But in that year, my God, did I have some experiences that were like that were inoculated me against being single for the rest of my life. I'm telling you now, mate, it's this. You can't make, I don't understand one night stand sex. I think a certain type of man enjoys that, where it's just like being on a farm, like a farmer attending to you.
How is on a field?
You can't enjoy, like, you've got to know each other's bodies, and you can't, that type of sex where everyone's like, and all the cogs blowing out each other's ears. It takes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shags to get there.
You know what? I completely agree with that. I'm 32 and I've been single most of my life. So the majority of mine have been one night stands and whatever else. And everyone automatically assumes then that you're some sort of fucking Lothario or whatever else. But actually, it's the people who have been in relationships that are having better sex, because like you say, they've got to know that person. You know the boundaries, you know the limits, you do the exploration bit. And I haven't really had a lot of that. I've just had a lot of fucking.
Wham, bam, yeah. So because what happens is, if you're in a loving relationship, particularly now, it's about pleasure. Like, most men are totally paranoid. How can I please this woman? And if you're only with a woman for one night, how the fuck are you going to learn? You can learn a certain amount. Unless you do it over, like, Nando's. Like, we are going to be together one night, so I've got a spreadsheet here. If you could just point on a graph to what you want me to do later, it will be a more satisfying experience for you. I mean, most women would probably love that. I'll have A, B, I'll have a portion of fries with C.
Listen, like I said, the topic of this was love at first sight, and I think all three of us agree that it is sort of bollocks.
Yeah.
So I think that's our rundown for the show, isn't it?
Wicked! On that note then, let's play our game. So, Russell, we play a game every week called Love the Way You Lie, and we'd like you to tell us 3 stories, and 2 of them are truth and 1 of them is a lie.
Okay.
We have to guess which one is the lie. We get a question each, so feel free, go through your stories, all 3 of them, and then we'll ask questions, if we have any, after.
Cece has been really good at this up until last week, where she
completely fucked it, yeah.
Right, so do you want just three short stories, yeah?
3 short stories.
Go for it.
Right, the first one is this. I was in the sugar hut having it large and in the VIP under the DJ booth. And when I went to the loo, which is, I, unlike most people in Essex, actually use it to go to the loo, not to turn into a fucking Dyson and hoover germs off the system. It's one drug I don't understand, by the way. Lucky enough, I was born with a personality, so I don't need to take it. And anyway, I went in there, and a group of anyone who's been to a nightclub in Essex will know men can get quite testosterone after about 1 a.m. I've gone in there, and I was followed in afterwards by a group of lads who all thought I was Nick Grimshaw, who then start hammering on the door, saying Grimmy's doing gear in the toilet, filming me and trying to smash the toilet door in while I was in there. And I filmed it from the inside and put it on YouTube. That's story one. Story two is I work on a show called Steph's Packed Lunch, as you all know. And there is a chef on there called Freddie Forster, who is strict vegan. And Steph and I thought it would be funny to cook a vegan pie, but to put it in the oven after we'd lined the pie tray with beef tallow, to make the point that when you put beef tallow on a pie, it makes it taste better. So it was innocent enough. It was done in rehearsal. It wasn't done on TV. And my God, we are talking proper kickoff, because Freddie is not vegan because of ethical reasons. He's vegan because of his religion. I didn't know.
Oh, fucking hell, mate.
Oh, shit.
Fucking wife's Hindu and all that. And anyway, that was a kickoff. But I do stand-up about it now, and he's fine about it, and we all laugh about it. The last one is, my mum was a cleaner, my dad was a manual labourer. But before that, my dad did try just for 2 years to be an actor and a comedian. And he had a bit of success. He ended up being like a model and stuff like that. He's quite pouty. And maybe Father Jupe on the quiet, I don't know. if you watch the James Bond movie, Thunderball, there is a scene where there is a woman chasing James Bond on a bike with long blonde flowing hair, who looks a little bit buff. That's because that was my old man who used to do work as a stuntman for those 2 years. And he had a blonde wig on, and that was one of his claims to fame, as well as being, though he was in Doctor Who, he was in a Monty Python sketch. But that's the
James
big
Bond stunt double.
He was a villain, a female.
Oh, villain.
It was like one of these, the larger female villains. Mm-hmm. And they did a male body double. So it's my dad in a blonde wig riding the bike that then goes off of the cliff.
That story started cool as fuck as James Bond stunt double, and then ended up being my dad was a stunt double for a female villain.
But weirdly, my first TV job all those years later, this isn't the full story, this is just a little side fact, then my first TV job all those years later, I needed a stunt double for a car move, and they couldn't find a man feminine enough, so I had a woman stunt double for me. And she had to put a wig on with more feminine hair.
Oh, that's amazing.
Brilliant.
Wow. So which of those three is true?
Cece, do you want to start with your questions?
So question, yeah. So Sugar Hut, you say they were banging on the door, trying to kick the door and whatnot. So did they get in or did
what? In the end, I had to go out. So I waited for them to chill out a bit and go out. And then it was like, hey, Grimmy. And when people mistake me for Nick Grimshaw, I've learned it's absolutely pointless trying to pretend I'm not him. So even though I've got a quite strong North London Essex accent, and someone from Essex should recognise it, I was at Ocean
Beach. He's like proper man, can he?
Yeah.
He's from Oldham. So I was. Yeah. I said to one of these lads, I was like, do I sound like I've got an older accent? It's the same voice. Oh, it's Grimmy's. I listen to it every morning, mate. And I was like, I've got a picture of Grimmy next to my face to show it. And he's like, and then people think it's the same person.
Oh, yeah, there's literally no point arguing with people when they've got that in their heads. My question for that one is, how long ago was this?
Maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe.
4 or 5 years ago. Okay. Story two, CC.
Absolutely awful.
How long was the dish in the oven for?
Well, they pre-make the food for like, here's one we tried earlier. So the without meaning to give away any secrets, a lot of the TV chefs don't cook their own food. So we had sous chefs in the kitchen. So we told this sous chef what we thought we were going to do, and she thought it was hilarious. So we got all the ingredients backstage because it's partly a cooking show. So we just lined the thing and she baked it. And then I went up doing my makeup and all that business. And when we came down, I was saying to Frigga, I've done a vegan bake. Me and Steph have made it. What do you mean? And we were like, you've eaten chicken. And it was not the reaction. Because there's a lot of banter and practical jokes. And we've done worse shit than that. But of course, I didn't realise there was this this Hindu element going on. So that was fucking bad news.
My question is not really about the prank. Mine is when he kicked off, did you feel bad or just find it funny?
It was worse. I think I would have liked.
Did your arsehole go a little bit when he mentioned religion?
Because if I was winding you up and you went, "You're fucking out of order," and stormed out, I'd probably still be laughing.
No.
You know when someone does the quiet.
Oh yeah.
And you know that you've like done something morally wrong, like you've touched them in the wrong way or hugged someone who doesn't like to be hugged, or you've said something blasphemous to someone's beliefs. It was more like a blood run cold, am I going to end up in the Daily Mail moment?
Yeah, got ya. And number three, Cece?
No questions for number three.
My question is, who was the James Bond in that film?
That's Sean Connery, that one.
Okay. All right.
I've been a long while since I watched it because I used to think my dad was winding me up because we would watch it and he would go, "That's me." And me and James and my brother thought he was winding me up, but he's also there. He's also in Doctor Who. Some people have added it on IMDb now. There's like my real surname's Greno. So you can see the Dave Greno creds on IMDb. Not now, Pete. That would be cheating.
No, I wasn't going to do it now. do you know what? I asked that question about who's James Bond thinking I'll catch you up, but I don't have a clue who James Bond was in that film. So it was a pointless question. CC, do you want to make your guess?
I'm a stand-up, so I'm really good at
lying. Yeah. I know, you're really bloody good, and it's throwing me. I'm going to go with number three as a lie. No, yeah, fuck it.
Haven't you got to guess which one's true?
Yeah. Is it?
Well, then the other two... have I fucked this again?
Well, no, you've guessed...
Every
you've guessed
single you, week.
No, you've got to pick another one as a lie, then, and then you'll find which one you believe.
Oh, so then I believe that number one's true.
That I was locked in the toilet.
I believe that number two is true.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I just can't imagine why anyone would want to go to Sugar Up 4 or 5 years ago. it hasn't been good for 8 or 9 years. I reckon number two is true.
So when do I reveal?
Right now.
So number one is true. You're correct, and it's on the clip's on YouTube. It might be slightly longer. It might be 6 years ago. It's on. If you go to my YouTube channel and say me, you'll see me locked in a toilet, cowering, filming in portrait while these lads bang on the door.
Really doing gear.
That makes me embarrassed to be from Essex.
I'm intrigued though. So number two, was there any truth to that?
Nothing at all. Freddie's definitely not vegetarian. Freddie's definitely not married to a Hindu. God. I just
you
made it up on the spot.
Fucking arsehole, right? I really believe.
And bearing in mind, I didn't know we were playing this game till you said it.
really? You've just made this up? You know what?
But my dad, to be fair to you guys, my dad used to lie and say that last one was true. So that was an easy lie to tell.
Why?
My dad, he used to wind me and my brother up when we were little. That's me with a wig on. But he was in Doctor Who. As a body, he's a bodybuilder, my
henchman.
You're really good. You're really, really good. You know what? You told the lie and then you added the lie on top of the lie, even after the questions.
I know. Well, that's the game. You just set it up.
Russell, thank you so much. We're going to never leave you, but thank you for sharing your stories and your words on Love at First Sight, actually. Really, really interesting. Thank you.
You've been an absolute pleasure, mate, and your barnet looks great. Mate, right, appreciate it. Set up,
pal. No worries.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.
Do you know what? I wanted to ask you during that, actually, what your thoughts were around... Obviously, I mean, there's like an age gap thing there, isn't there, between sort of, and what's appropriate and what's not. No, I'm not trying to catch you out here at all. I'm just intrigued because I think it's really hard for men. It's really hard to know what's right and what's wrong, what you can and can't do.
In terms of age?
Both. I mean, like he said that, you know, because obviously you meet people at gigs, you meet people on the job, and, you know, and then do you ever feel like, well, I can't because I'm at work and or how?
Do you know what? It's something that that in my head now, just naturally, I don't kind of try and mix the two. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that social media and everything over the last probably 5 or 10 years has made people more aware of what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate, especially if you're doing things like Russell, like comedy or anything else, because sometimes you can make jokes and say things that people take offence to, and you never mean to cause offence by them things.
Yeah.
And these things may have been acceptable, you know, a couple of years ago, whatever else, but things have changed, and you do kind of have to keep up with the times. But I do think it is quite difficult, to be honest with you.
I don't know. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's maybe that's a topic for another day.
Yes, what's appropriate and what's not.
Yes, I like that topic. So we are going to move on now to the dating stories and advice.
Oh, get it. Yeah, love this part.
Now, if you listen to last week's, we had a really interesting dating story, which involved a big fuck off scar.
My name's Amber Linney and I live in Aberdeen in Scotland, and my first date disaster was with a Tinder date. So he was 5'8", I'm 5'10", so I was obviously a little bit taller. But after several tequilas and wines, this didn't really make a difference. He was very sexy, looked like a pirate, so decided to walk in the direction of mine to obviously get it on. So when we were on the way there, I was like, look, you are a bit shorter than us, let's address the elephant in the room, let's see if you can take us. And he was like, what do you mean, can I take you? And I was like, give us a piggyback, like, can you physically take me? So he was like, yeah, okay, jump on. So I hopped on and he collapsed to the ground, smashing my shoulder off the pavement in the process. This then resulted in 3 operations. So after the first operation, I went back to Newcastle because I couldn't even wash myself without the assistance of my mum or my gran. So he came down to see if I was okay. I was not okay. I was codeined off my face for probably 3 months. But yeah, he came down, asked if I was okay. I was not okay. There was a lot of tension in the air. And yeah, the next thing I know, he had to go off to sea. So he worked on the boats and he went off to sea, and I pretty much never heard from him again. So that smash and Nash to a whole new level, really.
I mean, that story still gets me.
Yeah, it still gets me. So that was last week, and we asked Amber a few questions, didn't we? And Amber has she's replied.
Thank you, Amber.
Let's listen to Amber's response to what we asked last week.
So if I'm on a first date with somebody now and they clock my shoulder, it's like, people do ask, but like people usually ask in a way like, are you okay? Like, are you better now? Like, people think it was like really bad. Like, I've had people ask as if like, what happened to my lymph nodes? And I'm like, no, this is because I was stupid enough to ask a guy who was substantially shorter than me if he could take me. Like, I'm definitely the problem here. I am the embarrassing part of the story. So maybe usually when I tell the story, I'm like, oh yeah, he offered it to give us a piggyback. No, we all know it was me. So I'm the problem. I can't really blame it on anybody else. I do try, but nah, I'm the problem. And I think that's really what's most embarrassing about the story is that this was all my idea.
Love her. I love her.
I completely agree. So we asked her, when people see the scar, what do you tell them? Do you tell them like a cool story, you know, I was bitten by a shark or something like that? Or do you just tell them that you asked a really short man to give you a piggyback? And as it turns out, Amber loves honesty and just says, yeah, I'm a fucking idiot and I asked someone to give me a piggyback. Yeah. And I love Amber for that.
Yes, Amber, you are the problem. Aren't we all? Love it.
And me and Cece, we're deciding this week that we think we should come to Newcastle and have a night out with you.
Yes. Done.
We're in.
So clip 2. So this is a story, not advice. The stories always make me laugh. This is from Katie in Southampton.
My worst Tinder online dating story is with a very attractive Spanish nurse that I'd coincidentally worked with about a year prior to matching on Tinder. We'd been on about 4 or 5 dates and it was going relatively well. We decided that we were going to go on a weekend away. And on the Sunday morning, we went out for breakfast. And just casually in conversation, I asked if he wanted to come to an event the following weekend with me and some of my friends. And he then stopped talking. He wouldn't make eye contact. And I thought, this is weird. What's the matter? What's going on? At this point, the waitress came over to take our order. And he then was suddenly all over this waitress. He was telling her how beautiful her eyes were. He asked for her number as well. And I said, you know what? What is going on? Why did you just do that? And then he said to me that I was just a casual thing and he wasn't interested in me at all. Bearing in mind we've been on, you know, 6 dates and a weekend away together. So anyway, I then just left the restaurant. I thought, nah, I'm not doing this. I went back to my car, but me being the mug that I am, instead of just chucking all his stuff out onto the pavement and driving off, I sat in the car, cried and waited for him to come back to get his stuff. I then should have kicked him out. What I actually did was I drove him home. So that was an hour and a half of the most painful car ride of my life.
Oh, Katie.
You deserve better and I love you. Guy sounds like a wanker.
So this girl, this waitress was what? And maybe his not so casual or something else. Or was he, is she trying to say he was all over her?
What this sounds like to me is they were obviously getting on really well. They went on a few dates, weekend away. She then mentioned something in the future. He shit himself, gone quiet, and then made a point of just chatting up whoever's there to then go, I'm not actually interested, this is casual, because it sounded like she was looking for a little bit more. So he's just...
Oh, my God.
That's what it sounds like to me. I'm saying that because I am a guy, and I have been that much of an arsehole before, if I'm honest.
Serious?
Not to that extreme, but...
So the thought of someone wanting to commit makes a man, in depending on where you're at in your life, would make you do the complete opposite and almost embarrass the other person.
Yeah, not to that degree. I haven't to that degree embarrassed someone like that, but I think sometimes this is why, funny enough, me and Cece did an interview before this show, and I was asked what my best advice in dating is. And actually, from doing this show and from speaking to you, funny enough, Cece, I would say communication at any point from when you first start dating someone is the most important, because in people on two different pages, that's where miscommunication becomes the pinnacle of all evil. Mm-hmm. Because she evidently thought this was going somewhere based on the fact that he'd never told her that he didn't want anything casual from the beginning. So it would have been her choice from the beginning if she'd have carried on knowing that he just didn't, it was just a casual thing for him. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But
yeah,
she,
yeah.
Unaware of that, has decided that it might be going further to the point that then he has been an arsehole and barrister. But actually, if you're really honest, like Russell just said, funny enough, earlier on, when he was single, I was really honest about the fact I was emotionally unavailable and all that sort of stuff. It's then someone's choice whether they decide to go any further.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that I've certainly learned as I've got older, is now giving the people, if I'm not ready for a relationship and I'm emotionally unavailable, then that person needs to know that before, you know, they decide that they want to see me again or whatever else. And I think it's something that I probably never used to do. And it's an arsehole, cowardly way out.
Yeah, but look, we all fuck up. We all do it. I certainly haven't been the brilliant... You know, I have been brilliant all of my life.
I can't imagine you being anything other than brilliant, Cece.
Oh, my God. Put me in a relationship in my 20s. I was a complete dick, an absolute dick.
But I think everyone is at some point in their life. I think everyone goes through a stage and you have to make mistakes to learn what's right. Yeah. You know, I think it makes you the person that you are. We're always learning, aren't we, Cece? I learn from you every single week I speak to you.
You sound like you're taking the piss when you say that, but no, I'm
dead serious. You make me a better person. And I think that's, it's really important. You learn from all different surroundings and all different things, but as long as you do learn from fucking up, then, you know, don't be so hard on yourself when you do fuck up.
That's why I think everything's a lesson. Everything is, and you're right. Like, the shit I did in my 20s, my God, I am learning every relationship, and I mean that in every aspect, friendship, you know, because you date your friends. So how you treat your friends is a big example of how you would be in a relationship. So, yeah, I mean, I'm learning along the way and still making their mistakes, but...
For anyone listening, tune in every week to listen to me and Cece tell you all about our mistakes. And probably hear about our future mistakes, which are bound to happen.
Well, Mr. Peter Wicks, it's been lovely talking to you again. I never want this to end. I could talk all the evening, in fact, but it's the end. It's until next week.
Until next week. Thank you to Russell Kane, who was our guest this week, to talk about love at first sight. I know we all agreed that it's utter bollocks, but we're going to put a little call out because I do think we've had quite a pessimistic day today, because it sounds like we don't believe in all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So if anyone has a love at first sight story, a proper dream moment, fairy tale love at first sight story, then get in contact with FUBAR Radio on Instagram or email, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, and tell us, and we'll hear about it next week in the dating stories.
Yeah, do you know, I'd really like to hear that, because I want to be proven wrong. I want to hear someone's story. So yeah, please do.
Yes, so please do that. So you can download the app and listen each week to us and follow us on social media. We're at FUBAR Radio on all platforms. Cece, it's been a pleasure as always. Until next week. Namaste.
Namaste to you.
Would you like to finish with a song?
I'll sing if you do the beat, outro. Okay. I'll fade out. Go on.
What sort of beat do you want?
Any beat, and I'll just fade out. It's the end, and goodbye for now. FUBAR Radio, the dating show with P and C.
FUBAR Radio, CC, woo!
I don't think we're getting a contact.
That was my mic drop.
That was your mic drop?
That was my mic drop.
I think that was our career drop, actually.